Good morning, church, and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good all the time. And we also know, believe, hold to, and walk the truth that God has called us through His Son with three commands: to love God, love others, and go. All of the scriptures are wrapped up in those three commands, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. For as we begin to love God, we come under His word, for He tells us, "If you love me, you will follow my commands." Second, He also tells us that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, for greater is no one than he who would lay down his life for his friends, for that is the love Jesus Christ showed each and every one of us. And we go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only in our minds, in our hearts, but in our lives and all that we are and all that we do. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. And to that we have given ourselves, to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So today we are continuing in that following as we look at our last candle of the fourth week of Advent. For we know the next candle that will be lit is the Christ candle, and that will be lit on Christmas Eve. But today, as we look to the candle of revelation and love, I want us to have the understanding of what does it mean, revelation and love. Well, we know what love is, don't we? Love is that feeling that we all have, we get the warm and fuzzies from. No, that is not love. Love is a commitment unto the end. And when I say the end, I mean the end. Not an end that we make, but the end. And the end never happens because Jesus Christ is the first and the last. And He is eternal. So we need to understand God's love, God's true love, His choosing of each and every one of us is before the foundations of the earth and unto eternity. So how long does that last, folks? Yeah, forever. It never stops. Exactly. And so we need to understand it's more than a warm and fuzzy feeling. It is a commitment. It is a choice. It is a lifestyle. It is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for God is love. Can I get an amen? How do we define revelation? Well, revelation, and I love this because I hate when they use the word in the definition, don't you? Revelation, an act of revealing or communicating a divine truth. Well, thank you. I still don't know what revelation means because it means to reveal. Well, revealing is to view or make known, an enlightening or astonishing disclosure. Bringing something not previously known or realized to a dramatic disclosure. We need to understand God in revelation brings us truth. The entire books of the Bible, everything in here is revelation from Genesis to the book of Revelation. In fact, it has the very name revelation, for it was the final revelation of God unto man. Unto the end times. So as we understand revelation is God revealing Himself to us all. How do you think Adam and Eve were revealed God? He walked in their presence. They saw Him. He was revealed to them in sight. But then when sin came in, God could come into man's life no more, because if He would, because of sin, we'd have been destroyed. So God had to separate Himself from us. And God chose a different form of revelation. And that revelation was through men, through prophets, through speaking to us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and in some cases, literally speaking to the point where we heard Him. I want you to think about the folks who were with Moses as they got to Mount Sinai, and the voice of the Lord was on top of that mountain, shaking the mountain. The rocks were falling off of the mountain. The fire of God burnt the mountain. In fact, it's still burnt to this day. And those folks said what? Tell Him to talk to you. If we hear Him one more time, we're going to die. Boy, if that's not the truth. Because when God speaks, sin has to die. And as sinners, the only way God can speak to us is through His Son, our Lord and Savior. Can I get an amen? Because now, through Christ, we can hear the voice of God. And it won't destroy us, for Jesus Himself took that iniquity upon Himself. He went into hell with it. He shook it off, and He left it there. So I have a question for you. Why do we keep going back and picking it up? Don't we? But may we remember what today is about. I could preach on that for all day. But I want to talk about revelation and love, because revelation and love brings us to the place of what Christmas is about and the reality of what is coming before us, who is coming before us. As we think on that, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. To the book of Luke, we're going to be in the second chapter. The book of Luke, chapter 2. The book of Luke, chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 25. We're going to begin at 25 and read to 32. This is a part of the Christmas story that most people don't hear about, because this is a few days after Christ's birth. But it's just as important, because, again, God is doing a revealing here. And God being so huge, God being so intelligent, so awesome, could not reveal Himself all at one time. I hope you understand that. That's why it began in Genesis and ends in Revelation. Okay? It was a 3,000 to 4,000 year revelation. God didn't pour it all out at once. He couldn't. It was more than we could handle. How many of you can handle this book now? Yeah, it's powerful stuff. So here we are. It's about 8 days after the child's birth, after Jesus' birth, and we're at the temple. From verse 25, "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel.'" Blessed be the word of our Lord. Here was this one. It was already proclaimed by the angels. It was revealed by them to the shepherds. And the shepherds came. And then they went out and they spoke to others, because it was revealed to them. But then Simeon is at the temple. And here comes this parents with their little baby boy, and they are at the temple, and they are getting ready to dedicate their son to the Lord, to have him circumcised. And here is the man Simeon, looking at every child that has ever come in his lifetime, waiting for that Christ to come. And he sees this one. Can you imagine how he felt when the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, what you've been looking for, it's over there." He was looking to an end of his life and the beginning of life eternal. And that life eternal is Lord Jesus, our Savior. And the light of the world had come before each and every one of us. Simeon was the first one outside of those who had angelic knowledge to see this. And I'm going to tell you right now, Christ is still being revealed in the exact same manner today. There are many people who do not know the Christ. They do not understand the Christ child. They do not understand God's love. And God has to reveal Himself continually in the lives of people. And I'm sure there are some here now that have doubts, you know. Well, you know, I'm just not sure about all this stuff. Hey, that's okay. I've been at this for 62 years and I'm still not sure about everything. Anybody else in that boat? But the one thing I am sure of, because He has made it known to me, He has revealed it to me, and He has revealed it to anyone with longing eyes and longing heart, that Jesus is the Christ. There is only one God. And His name, His earthly name, His fleshly name is Jesus. And as we come unto Him, that revelation now opens us up and the lights go on. Okay? How many of you go out at evening and when you get home the house is dark? We all know what that's like. What's the first thing you do when you walk in the house? Turn on a light. Why? Because you want to be able to see what's going on. You don't want to fall and break your neck, right? Now, if you're like my wife and I, we let a light on when we leave. Because we're too dumb to turn it on when we get home. No, I let the light on so I can see to get up the sidewalk without killing myself. But I want you to understand, that's an analogy of what's going on here. Because when we come home, when we come where? Back to the Lord, He turns the light on. What's the light? The light of revelation. Jesus is the Christ. He paid a price for me. And all I have to do is accept it. How many of you accept your electric bill? You know, we all like to think Christianity is so difficult. It is not. It is accepting the truth of who Jesus is, because He paid the bill. How many of you want Jesus to pay your electric bill? May I remind you, the electric I'm talking about here is the power of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, because He empowers us unto life. The life that we all live is going to throw a whole bunch of stuff at us, doesn't it? Every day something else comes. And it just seems unending. You know, I love talking to our young people. It's just like, well, I just thought it won't stop. Folks, it never does. It just keeps coming. But when we accept that Christ child, when we look to the love of God, the revelation of God coming into the world, all of a sudden we're not fighting so hard, are we? Because now there's a light over us and we can see what's happening. Or at least we can see dimly. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes my eyesight ain't so good. I do wear glasses, you know. How many of us have spiritual glasses that we need to wear? Because we don't see everything clearly. And God speaks to us about that from the Apostle Paul. For now we see dimly as in a mirror. But then we will see Him, what? Face to face. That's final revelation. And in final revelation, we are changed 100%. We are no longer a fallen, broken hunk of flesh. We will be the holiness of God, given this new birth. And I mean a real new birth, because not only do we get a new spirit, but we get a new body. We get a new life. And we will live unto eternity with Him forever. Boy, now there's some revelation. I cannot wait for that day. But those things are yet to come. Some of us aren't there yet. That hasn't, you know, we need to hang on. Wait a minute, Pastor Rich. I want to live some life before that comes. And some of us, we're getting to the point where we're saying, enough with that stuff. I'm waiting for the good stuff. But don't give it up too quick, because we still got good stuff to go. And I'm going to tell you right now that good stuff is what we're going to look at. Because as God reveals this stuff to us, we have so much more to look forward to. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John. the book of John. We're going to be in chapter 10. Because I want us to understand, God doesn't just reveal Himself to us and then let us go. You know, how many of us, you know, would love to, you know, work or live in such a life where everything's given to you. Here it all is, but now you got to go it alone. Don't we feel that way in this world a lot of times? We feel like we're alone. Even when we have spouses, even when we have children, we can be in the midst of a church, we can be in the midst of a concert, and still feel all alone. And God says, no, I don't want you to feel that way. Number one, I hate to use the word feeling, but we all understand that terminology. Because God wants us to know, and knowing is not a feeling. There are feelings that come when we know things. But God wants us to know. What does He want us to know? He wants us to know that He's never going to leave us alone. He wants to reveal to us the fact that His love, His revelation is here now for us every day in every way. John 10 and 14. And this is the words of our Lord and Savior. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, that they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. A division occurred again amongst the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. In these words of revelation, Jesus is telling us that He is preserving us unto eternity. Did you read that? When we walk with Him, when we hear His voice, when we understand, these words are not just words, but it is God speaking directly to you and I, how much you are worth to Him. That is love. That is a revelation of love. That He is going to take care of us all the days of our lives. We're going to go through this stuff. Why? Because sin is in our lives and sin is in our world. He doesn't take away the consequences of those things, but He takes away the punishment thereof through His Son, who is our Lord Jesus the Christ. And in that we see the revelation of true love. Jesus said He's doing this of His own initiative. No one's forcing Him to do it. He doesn't feel so good about it. How do we know that? What happened to Him in the Garden of Gethsemane? Did He have a party? No. In fact, it was so difficult upon Him that His sweat was as drops of blood. We need to understand what that means. That means the strain, the stress that was upon Him was so great that His capillaries actually burst within His very skin. because of the weight of the sin of every person, past, present, and future, were laid upon him in that garden. And he had to fight the one thing that you and I have to fight every day, our will. How tough is the human will? What does it take to break it? Do you know there's only one thing, one true thing that will break the human will? And it's love. It truly is love. I want you to think about this. How many of us have said, I'm going on a diet? Ain't nobody here ever did that, right? How much do you have to love yourself, truly love yourself, to stay on that diet? Because that's what it's all about. It's not about how you're going to look. Do you love yourself? Do you think you deserve this? Are you going to choose to be better every day? How many of us have quit smoking 27 times? I can go down the list. But the only thing that gets it through is truly the fact of loving. But it's a selfish love in those aspects. The only way we could win this fight is to make a choice. It's a choice of love. God chose us. That's the revelation we're seeing here. That's why he came. The question is, are we going to choose to love him back? That's all it's about. Are we going to choose to love him back by accepting his payment? And then in true love, that means we read this book, doesn't it? It means we change our lives. It means we become something different. I'm going to speak to you folks out there. I know most of my congregation gets this. Some of you, so I know I'm talking over your head a little bit. But when we walk in this book, we may not understand all of it when we start. But the longer we look, the deeper we look, the harder we go, the more, Jesus, through love and gentle kindness, can I get an amen, church? I mean, because he walks around with a bigger Bible than ours, thumping us on the head, right? No, he's never done that. He takes the time that we need to learn to love him and to walk with him in gentleness and in comfort. You don't get sheep to love you by being mean to them, because you don't drive sheep. You call sheep. And because of their relationship with you, they respond. Because you've cared for them, you've loved them, you've taken them to good water and good pasture. When their fleece was full of knots and burrs, and some of us have knots and burrs, don't we? And the shepherd pulls them out. When they get themselves in trouble, he uses his crook to lift them up out of that trouble, doesn't he? He also uses that crook to fend off bears and lions and tigers, oh my. The love of God revealed here in these words, he's telling us, they're mine. You can't harm them. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Pharisees, but he's also talking to somebody a whole lot bigger than those Pharisees, isn't he? Because we know who the enemy of mankind is, because he's the author of death. He's the one that helped bring all this stuff into fruition. So again, God has to reveal to us, and not only to us, but to the spirit world, who he is and what he does. And the greatest thing he is and the greatest thing he does is love us. God has known your name since before the beginning of time. You know, I often think, how many times did God recite all of our names throughout all of history? Because I'll guarantee you, he's spoken it more than once. I know he spoke it at least once, because he spoke us into existence. For he created us in our mother's womb. And in that, may you understand just how important the mother's womb is then. And the life does not start at physical birth. Life starts at conception. Because it is God bringing forth life. life. May we hold fast to the revelation that God brings us. And may we walk in the love that He wishes to pour out upon us. And may we understand that there are many out there who are still being revealed to moment by moment, day by day. And many don't even have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ yet. And we need to help them get there by loving them. We love God. We already know this, for we have accepted it. And now we need to love others. And as we are loving them, that means we have to take this message out. That's going. And if you have to, speak. What do I mean by that? Our life should show this revelation real in us, the love of God real in us, that we're reaching out to people who are hurting. Oh, but I don't want to do that, Pastor. That's messy. That's dirty. I don't know if I want to do that. You know, I can pray in my car or I can pray in my closet. God wants us to be out there. Where was He? He could have done all this from heaven, couldn't He? He could have just snapped His fingers and said, okay, it's done. Did He do that? No. God came. Do you realize that's part of revelation? God wants us to be in front of these people. God wants us to be in front of one another being revealed. You know, I love it when you folks tell me part of your testimony, something new that's just happened. Pastor, you won't believe what happened this week. And then you go off on this tangent and I hear this wonderful story and I'm like, wow, that is so cool. But I have people that are like, yeah, I had something similar happen, but I didn't think anybody would want to hear about it. Really? I'm telling you right now, we're talking eternal measures here. I think it's strange how the evil one lies to us, and we think it's all the big things that happen in the world. Well, you know, we read the Bible, and it says that Moses saw the burning bush, and he led 4 million people out of the land of Egypt into Israel. You know, and my life doesn't have anything like that. Folks, you ain't Moses either. And remember, to whom much is given, so be grateful for the little stuff. How many of you want more on your plate? I want more of Jesus on my plate. Can I get an amen, church? Because in His love, we are set free. And may we share that freedom. Turn in your Bibles to John 3:16. We all know this, right? We all know this. John 3:16. But I have to share it because this is the truth of the revelation that each and every one of us has come into. And in this revelation, we have a hope. But we also are going to see in this revelation that lest we take this out, there are others who are damned. Revelation from John 3, beginning in verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. For he who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe in has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes into the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. There are so many people out there that don't love God because they walk in the darkness. We have been revealed the Christ, the life that each and every one of us needs. And we walk in that light. And when we walk into a room, when we are walking our lives, a light should go into the darkness. Can I get an amen? Simply by a smile, letting someone know, hey, it's a good day. But how many people do we simply pass by and we don't even look at them? How many times have we been in a situation where we see a need and rather than, oh, I'm running a little late, we pass it by? Did Jesus pass us by? No, he didn't. Folks, there's a reason Pastor writes in his calendar with pencil. Because when we write in our calendar, and I mean our lives when I'm saying this, when we write in ink, it's indelible. It doesn't go away, and it controls us to try and get it done. But when we write, and I'm speaking spiritually here, in graphite, when we use that erasable stuff, in other words, I can go away. Do you catch me? All of a sudden, we got time for everything. Because God is outside of time. If you need that time, God's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you somewhere else. And I'll guarantee you, the time that you take with someone will pay dividends into eternity. We need to remember, we live in this world, and Satan wants us to focus on this world and that stupid clock up there on the wall that goes around, you know, every hour it's going around. Oh my goodness, I'm wasting time. Let us remember, God is outside of time. That clock means nothing to him. If he wants it to go back 3 hours, he'll send it back 3 hours. But are we going to be the revelation and the love that Jesus wants us to be? He has revealed himself to us. How many of you that took time? Whew. It's still taking time because how many of us are perfect? I know I'm not. But guess what? I got an awesome church walking with me. And I'm so grateful because you help put me on the way. You give me the courage where I see I'm struggling and I know you've gone through it. You help me to see that the love of God has gotten you through it and I'm a child of God and together I can talk to you and we can get through this thing together. Can I get an amen? Because God has loved us, not that we love in a vacuum, but that we spread that love just like Jesus did when he came from the Father. He could have kept it to himself and said, I'm going to save myself through this thing, and the rest of you, well, you know where to go. Because it's where we belong. It's what we deserve. And it's called hell. But he didn't do that. He came for the very reason of sending us unto eternity, of bringing us back into right relationship. And I pray that that's where we live our lives. For God so loved me? No. God so loved what? The world. There is no human being that cannot be saved. There is no human being that cannot be saved. Now, there are many human beings who will choose not to be. Because of alignments that they have made. But we haven't made that alignment. Can I get an amen? And it is our duty to the love of God, to be the love of God in this world, the revelation of love. We know it as a baby, come down. But I think it's funny. Did you read John 3:16 with me? Did you read what it says? It says, for I did not come into the world to judge the world, but to save the world through me. That's what Jesus said. Guess what? We're looking for another advent. You see, Jesus has already come. But there's another advent. And I'd say it's a whole lot closer now than it's ever been. And in that advent, is he coming back as a baby again? Is he coming back as a suffering servant again? The next time God comes back, he's coming back as God. For he will be judge. He's already gone through everything to set us all free. And the next time he comes is to judge everything. And brothers and sisters, he loves us so much, he's delaying it. How many of you want him to come back yesterday? You know, I think it's funny. In the church, we say those things, and we mean them spiritually. But the reality is, he could come back right now. Yeah, everybody's looking up. Wouldn't that have been cool? Oh my head just went. But God can come back at any moment. We don't know when it's going to be. We know that it's going to be. And when he comes, he will be judged. So may we share the love that we've been given. May we share the hope that we have. Because we have had the revelation of God into our lives. And may we bring that revelation to others. Last scripture today, John 15. John 15. John 15, 9 through 17. These are the words I want to leave you with, because they're the words that really move my heart when I think about just who God is and what he's asking of us and what he has to offer us. I mean, how many of us would, you know, how many of you are good to where you are in yourself without Jesus? No, we know what that means. That means death, doesn't it? But what does Jesus offer us? Let's read what he says. From verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Wow, I got to stop there. Abide in my love. What's God saying to us? Is he going to force us to love him? Is he going to bring this in such a manner that we get beat up with it? No. He's calling his sheep. Abide in my love. Walk with me. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. He's calling us. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What commandments are Jesus talking about? Three commands. What are they? Love God, love others, and go. That's his word. That's this whole thing. So that means I have to know this whole book. How am I going to do that, Pastor? No. If you know Jesus, you know the book. What? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word... Come on, people. I'll never know everything about God. I get to spend eternity with him. You get to spend eternity. We'll never know everything about God because he's far greater than we could ever understand. So know what you know and know that you know. Can I get an amen on that one? Because every one of us is at a different place. Know that you know that you know and walk with him. That's all he asks. You know, oh, but boy, I got to get everything right. No, you don't, because you never will. But one of the best things you could ever be is one of the things my mama used to give me hun for. She would say, you're the most trying person I know. And God says, yeah, he's trying. One's a victory and the other's a defeat. Well, I'll take the heavenly one if you do, pardon me. Because I want to try as often as I can, as much as I can. Because Jesus is the one who succeeded. Can I get an amen? Amen. And we hold to him. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made what? How many of us want full joy? Not what this world has to offer, not what this life has to offer, full joy. His joy. In other words, nothing catches us by surprise. We can smile at everything and anything because we know somebody's getting taught a lesson here today, and I'm growing just a little bit more. There's joy in the knowing. Can I get an amen? Because when we understand what Jesus is talking about here in just this one sentence, all of a sudden life is worth the living because we have no idea what the next thing's going to bring us. Some of it's going to be hard. But we need to remember, in some of these things, we're not meant to understand in this life because our minds cannot conceive the good that is happening. Only God can. Because we have a definition of good. How many of us know definitions change? If our society has taught us anything, it is that definitions change. So may our joy be truly made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what the master is doing. But I call you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father have been made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. As I end with that scripture, may we remember, and it's why I threw it in there, because I didn't give it to Pete. The world is going to hate us for what? For loving other people, for loving them in truth, for loving them in holiness, not loving them in accordance to the world. Because there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but in the end it leadeth to... And our world is going to tell us, love is this, and no, it's not. Love is walking in the commands of God. Love is walking in the admonition of the Lord. Love is choosing to do that which is right and good, to follow the path that the Creator has given us, that we would find the righteousness of God. And we only find the righteousness of God through the revelation of whom? Jesus Christ. So this Christmas, he's revealed yet again. You see, it all comes back to that revealing when he is made known. There are many who need him to be made known. And there are some of us here who need him to be made known in different aspects of our lives. Can I get an amen? Because all of us are flawed and all of us still do stupid stuff. And I call it stupid because stupid is you know better, but you do the same thing anyhow. Okay? Dumb is not knowing. Okay, Jesus came to cure ignorance, all right? And he has. He's turned on the light switch and we can all see what's what. But it's choosing to do the dark things, which is stupid. And how many of us are stupid? I can't believe it. They raised their hands. Did you? Because we do. Because we're fallen. But the grace of God, the love of God, what does he do? He says, now repent, turn, and walk with me. He doesn't throw anybody away. His love is so great. His love is so great that all we have to do is turn. Turn to him. Face him. Walk with him. Listen to his voice. And what does it mean to listen to someone's voice? It means to do what they say. And when we do what Christ says, we have life. And that life is the light of men, for that light is Christ Jesus, which is the rest of John 1:1. Look it up. Pray with me this Advent Sunday. Father God, we thank you. that you are the revelation, that you have brought the revelation of your salvation into our world, who is Jesus the Christ, the greatest love ever known, that the God of the universe would save the very creation who cursed him and walked away. But Lord, oh, when we walk back the life you give us, the hope you give us, and the life that is yet to be. For just as you are eternal, so too we are. May we who are here this day, under the light of the fourth candle of the Advent wreath, remember the hope that we have, the peace that we have, the joy that we have, and the love that we have, and all of that consummated in the Christ, who is our only hope and stay. And to him we give our hearts, each and every one, every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.